Good morning. It's the 7th of January. Our first reading for the day is Genesis chapters 13 and 14. I'm going to read to you from Brother Harry Whittaker's book, Abraham, Father of the Faithful. After describing Abraham's rescue of Lot, Brother Harry writes this. This short campaign, so brilliantly successful, would have gone to the head of many a smaller man. God had promised the whole of this Canaan to Abraham as a gift. It was now within the bounds of possibility that Abraham might even win the land for himself. It needed only one or two lightning strokes of the kind he had just executed so competently, and the reputation built by them would do the rest. The whole land could be his in a matter of weeks. So he could have argued to himself. But God had not bidden him conquer the land. He had promised to give it to him. And Abraham was content to await God's good time. The temptation to seek personal aggrandizement found him impervious and went, but not for long. For as soon as he was returned to the south, it met him again in an altogether different form. The king of Sodom met him near Jerusalem, and all acclamation and gratitude for the rescue Abraham had made and for the superb ability with which it had been carried out. He made what worldly judgment would assess as a gesture of great generosity. Give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. Yet much of the immense loot of the invaders' camp must have come from Sodom itself, and he was prepared to forego this. On reflection, it is not difficult to see why he proposed such a share out. The prisoners now in the hands of Abraham would represent a considerable body of wealth as potential slaves, and men of mark from Ashteroth, Carnaim, and the other plundered cities would be redeemable for fairly considerable ransoms. So it was an altogether mystified king of Sodom who heard Abraham declare with some brusqueness, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. It was at once a magnificent declaration of faith and a staunch determination not to be indebted to Sodom for material advancement and worldly friendship. What had Sodom given to Lot? Ease, for a while, but also a sapping of spiritual vigour, and lately the gravest danger. Then the less Abraham had to do with Sodom, the better. So the only proviso he made was that his small, hastily mustered army should have due payment for their services. Such an austere attitude was almost bound to turn the king of Sodom and all the cities of the plain from friends to enemies. Even though they profited hugely from Abraham's independence. Yet Abraham stood firm. He had sworn an oath to the Most High God, whose land he lived in, and who had promised to give it to him. Compared with that, the rest mattered little. Abraham received better than he gave, for God is debtor to no man. Through Melchizedek, there came a blessing far surpassing the priestly blessing heard by Israel on any day of atonement. Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, the purchaser of heaven and earth. This blessing meant the forgiveness of sins, and it foreshadowed the ultimate redemption which God was to bring through Abraham. And in that there is a lesson for all of us. Beware the king of Sodom, and rejoice in the King of Righteousness and Peace. Thank you for listening to me.